This is before you, trusting you, looking to you. You are the Holy One, the Blessed One. Speak to your people. Speak to us who gather here. That is your mercy and goodness. And we look to you, Lord, for that. From the oldest to the youngest, for all of us, whatever our condition, our state, whatever our mind is, however tired we may be, or fresh, we pray, Lord, your portion would be there for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Saturday. And if we cast our mind back to Saturday, long ago, after Friday, after the horrible Friday, after the day that Jesus was crucified, the disciples were scattered. It's the Sabbath, it's a very quiet day. Because in Jerusalem, the Sabbath day, there was no shops, there was no market, it's a still day. And there is a company of people who are confused, who are shattered, who are shocked, who are frightened, and who are perhaps meeting in each other or furtively going from house to house, not knowing what to say, and probably just weeping, speechless about what's happened. Because for years they had dreamed they'd be with Messiah. They'd confessed him, they'd seen his miracles. And now, what's happened? We don't know what happened to 9 of the 12. We know what Judas is already dead. Peter and John, some of them thought they were arrested as well. And they discovered that they're not arrested. But where's Peter? And some of them perhaps ran back to Bethany to warn Mary and Martha. Perhaps now they've crept back into Jerusalem and discovering the horror of the Lord's death. And that they buried him. Who buried him? This man Joseph, we never heard of him, but he's buried him and put him in a tomb. So you try and picture how they feel, how lost they feel. Jesus said to them, I'll not leave you as orphans, but they sure felt like orphans at this time. That he was no longer with them, and they just looked at each other and thought, who are we? You know, and the authorities, look what they've done. And every hope they might have had would be shattered. And so a few of them are gathering together and thinking and trying to make sense of all that's happened over the last few years. How do you make sense of it? And then one of them begins to recall something, and he's trying to understand and make sense of this. What is it that he recalls? On the Thursday night, they'd gathered together in the normal Jewish custom to keep the Passover, the annual feast, the Passover feast. They'd gone into the city, a couple had gone into the city early to prepare, which means they purchased a lamb and taken it to the priests and had it sacrificed, and then taken the lamb back and prepared the meal for 13 hungry men. So it's been quite a meal. And then in this Passover meal, when the Lord arrived with the other disciples, the other apostles, and the 13 of them were gathered, Jesus is most naturally sitting in the at the head of the table. Not that it was a table like our table, but at least reclining. They're reclining on their side, you know, around on cushions around this table. And he's in the chief spot, naturally. And he says to them, and I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 15. He says to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So one of the apostles is recalling this, he's remembering this. He really wanted to eat this Passover with us. He was looking forward to it. Then he said that, which is so strange. And this man would have thought, "I've kept the Passover every year since I was a child. And every year since I was a child, we've recited and we've remembered what happened, how we were, how our forefathers so long ago were delivered out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And God miraculously set the whole nation free. And he did it by a lamb's blood being put on the doorposts. And when the judgment came in Egypt and the firstborn were all killed, the Jewish families were safe only because of the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And inside, they remembered that meal where they'd eaten the lamb roasted in fire. And they remember the commandment, you cannot eat it raw, and you cannot boil it, you must roast it. And you must not break any bone of it. And you must not leave anything until the morning. And you have to eat it standing up with your shoes on and your staff in your hand and your waist girded. In other words, you're ready to walk out the front door. But you're not walking out the front door, you're having a meal. This was the Passover. And it was instituted then by God through Moses that every year the Jewish people were to remember this great escape, this great deliverance. And so this apostle would have remembered, since I was a child, we've gathered and we've remembered the Passover. And we've looked back. But then Jesus, "I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." What? Passover's when you look back. But Jesus said, "I want to eat this Passover with you." And he was looking forward. What did he mean? What was going on? Did they understand? How could they understand? So you could imagine in the desolation of that Saturday, remembering this which he said, trying to understand and make sense of it, and then going over again. But remember what he did. He took the bread of the Passover. He took the bread and he gave thanks. And as the head, he took that loaf, the one loaf. It was round, it was flat, and it was about just so thick. And he broke it. And he shared it with us all. We all received some of that loaf. And as he gave it to us, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then at the end of the meal, he took the cup, which they call the cup of blessing. He took that cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Which is shed for you. Which is shed for you. And they passed the cup around, and each one drank from that cup. So this is what they're remembering in their desolation. This strange thing that he did in the Passover. This wasn't an ordinary meal, this was the Passover. And if you asked any one of them, "What were you doing?" they said, "We were having the Passover meal." And if you asked the Lord Jesus, "What were you doing?" he would have said, "We were having the Passover meal. With desire, I desire to eat this Passover before I suffer." It was the Passover. And yet the Lord was not looking back, but looking forward. Looking forward to when this Passover would be fulfilled. And they didn't understand it then. Still, they knew that he shed blood. But how could they understand? "This is my body, which is given for you." How could they understand? "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." So difficult for them to understand. So, what was the meaning of this? What was he doing? What did he see that they didn't see? You know, when I think of the Lord in this situation, I think of him so majestic. You know the idea of majesty? You know, when everybody is shaking and quivering with fear, when everybody is confused and not knowing what to do, then one walks through unbowed, unafraid, clear, resolute, majesty. Here is the Lord, and we see this wonderful majesty, this wonderful strength, this wonderful love and clarity of purpose. And yet this is on the eve of his suffering, which he knows full well what is coming. And he's speaking about that suffering, and they're not understanding, but he's speaking about that suffering and saying, for you, so, what's happening? What is it? Well, it's not accidental that the Lord gave them this bread and gave them this wine at the Passover, because the Lord said, "I'm looking for this Passover to be fulfilled." Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, all welcome. Tomorrow morning, we with believers throughout the centuries and throughout the world will take bread and take a cup because of this night and this man. We will take bread and we will take a cup. And those of us who can, with a clear conscience, will eat of that bread and drink of that cup and remember him. He gave us this. He wants us to remember him. Does it sound to you Like he wanted sympathy? Of course not. No. He was thinking only of them. And he was thinking that he was going to suffer, he was going to die. And though he would rise, he was going to leave them. And all they would be left with, instead of his physical presence and the wonder and the majesty of him there with them, all they'd be left with was on the table some bread, on the table, to remember him. And when they would look at that bread on the table, after he descended and gone, when they looked at that bread on the table and they, when they looked at that cup on the table, they knew who put it there. He did. It was from his hand. He gave it to them. And then they're going to take that bread and they're going to share it amongst themselves. They're going to break the loaf and share it. And then each one is going to partake of it. It's a very physical thing to eat. Nobody can eat for you. You've got to do it yourself. You have to take that bread, and then you have to put it in your mouth and eat it. It's a very deliberate thing that you do. And they're going to take the bread, and they're going to eat it. And as they do that, they're going to remember what he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And they're not going to simply look at the bread, they're going to eat it. So strange, so wonderful. Because by the time that they are breaking that bread and drinking of that cup, they've understood, they've seen it, that there was a Passover, that there was a deliverance, that a nation was set free, that we did come out of slavery because of the blood of the Lamb. And he was the Lamb, and we were slaves to sin, and we have been set free. That Passover was nothing compared to this reality, this nation, these people of God being set free from their slavery to sin. And how were they set free? Because he died, because he was crucified and rose again. And they're eating that bread and saying, "He lives, and he is now my life." When I eat that bread is me. It becomes part of me. It's my life. It's my food. He is my life now. And because of that, I've been set free. And am I secure? Is this for real? Is this for sure? Is this really permanent? Is this eternal? Yes, it is. Because then I'm going to pick up that cup, and I'm going to share the cup, and I'm going to remember that blood was shed to make a covenant. We are locked in by this covenant. The covenant was with God. God made it with us. We are secure in his promise. Gloriously, wonderfully secure. And our whole relationship with him has been changed completely. This is not the old covenant which said, "Obey. Do this, and if you do it well enough, man, maybe." No, this is the new covenant. The new covenant which says, "I have loved you. I will wash you. I will do everything to cleanse you, set you free, and you shall be mine forever." That's the new covenant. So we have received this blessing because of him. He gave it to us. Tomorrow morning, we're going to remember him. And we're going to do it in that strange, Christian way, taking bread and a cup and sharing the bread, sharing the cup. And we're going to remember a Passover. We're going to remember a nation set free. We're going to rejoice as a people who have been set free from sin. All of us who have confessed Christ as our Savior are welcome to share in this. But if you haven't yet confessed Christ, come and look and see a people whose eyes have been opened and who are rejoicing in a Savior who is without compare, who is so wonderful. And when you see that bread on the table, know who put it there. Oh yeah, our hands put it there tomorrow morning, for sure. But it's on the table because He gave it to us. Because He knew He was leaving. And He wanted to give us something we could touch and feel and link us back to Him and His walk amongst us and His love for us and His commitment to us, even to the death of the cross. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, that's not early. The sun's already got out of bed by then, so you can come too. And share in it with a clear conscience. If you believe in Jesus, and you're willing to confess that you do believe in Jesus, that you've turned, returned, and you're trusting in Him. And if that's not you yet, you come and see. You come and hear the praises of those who love Him, whose eyes have been opened. You'd be very welcome to do that. So, anybody want to ask any questions about that? Any thoughts about that before we go to the groups? All right, then we go to the groups.